Merry Christmas. Welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration this Christmas day is the gospel text from John chapter 1. I'll begin reading that now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and joy are yours, you who are born of God's will. Amen. In ideal circumstances, new life is met with hope and optimism, a healthy mixture of expectation and celebration. In ideal circumstances, when a husband and wife find out the good news that she is with child, they prepare their hearts, their homes, and their lives for the blessing that is that child. In ideal circumstances, that birth is quick, painless, a joyful union of a growing family. In ideal circumstances, their friends and family come together to celebrate this wonderful blessing. But we don't live in ideal circumstances, do we? It's wonderful when little slivers of the ideal world poke through into our lives. But that's not where we live. We live in the real world. In the real world, children are born into families that are struggling. Every day in the real world, children are born into things like poverty and hunger, dysfunction, and even warfare. We have not lived in ideal circumstances for far too long. We live in the very real world. In the real world, children are born with diseases, defects, and disorders. And parents don't dream about any of this for their children. They don't plan on their child being born into a world full of problems or to experience a life full of suffering. They hope their children will find friends and fulfillment, satisfaction, and people who genuinely love them. As parents, we do this, even though we know that we ourselves are foolish, selfish, and sinful. Even though we cannot control everything, no matter how hard we try, we cannot give our children the ideal existence that we long for them to have. But no one plans on sending their child into a world full of problems to experience a life full of suffering. Yet, it seems that this is precisely what God the Father did in sending his Son into this real world. He knew it was far from ideal circumstances. He knew that his Son would be born into a world full of problems and a life full of suffering and would even experience an excruciating death. How could he do this to the Son he calls his beloved? Yes, we know that God so loved the world, but how could he do this to a son he also claimed to love? John 1 reveals that God's loving plan of salvation was not something that the Father forced upon his Son, but rather something that our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit cooperatively planned and achieved. The Word became flesh because our triune God is sacrificial love for sinners like us. In Matthew and Luke's gospel, the Christmas story begins at a beginning we expect, with Mary and Joseph being told the miraculous good news that they would serve as parents for their Lord and Savior. But John's gospel begins in the beginning. The beginning that he is speaking of is the great beginning, detailed in Genesis chapter 1. In that beginning, when the Spirit was hovering over the waters, God unleashed his creative power. God said, "Let there be light and waters and dry ground and vegetation and creatures." And all these things came to be by the power of his word. This word wasn't just an expression by God. This word was God, the second person of the Trinity, the one whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. This word made all things. This word brought life and light into this world. This word made mankind, the crown of his creation, men and women in his own image. They didn't have to learn to think like the Word thought, or be taught to love the things that he loved or the way that he loved. It was instinctual, natural, joyful. The beating heart of the Word was within them. But it didn't stay that way. Not for long. Those the Word of Truth gave wisdom to chose the foolish path of rebellion. Those the Word of Life gave life to chose life without him. Physical and eternal death instead. Though he was the Word of Truth, they accepted lesser words, cheap lies. And they lost the life and the light that he brought to all mankind. And the darkness they chose crept in quickly. The world that the Word made perfectly was turned upside down. It was no longer the ideal, very good creation that the Word had made it. It was a world full of problems. It was a world full of lies. It was a world full of suffering and death. It was a world where people were hurting and hurt themselves and hurt others in an effort to escape the real world. That is where we live today. Yet God, the Word, could not and would not walk away from the world that he made, the world that turned on him, the world that believed Satan's lies over God's truth. Instead, he chose to dwell with them. The people who chose to dwell in darkness rather than his great light. The Word of God that made all things himself became the flesh of man. He made his dwelling among those who walked away from him. He had conversations with those who believed Satan's lies over and against God's truth. He planted himself alongside those who had only ever known the darkness. And all the while, we are told, he was full of the last two things this world would ever expect: grace and truth. In the real world, grace and truth is an unbelievable combination. To love people without conditions or expectations or demands, and to also speak to them in truth with honesty and integrity, this doesn't happen in the real world. but Jesus, the Word made flesh, who made his dwelling among us, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, came with grace and truth for his friends, his family, for complete strangers, for those who hated him, and for the whole world. Jesus, the Word made flesh, lived this way because he also loved the world that turned their back on him, that chose the darkness instead of his great light. And when he came into this world, they didn't recognize him as God. When he came to his own people, they did not receive him as the great light of their hope. Yet he continued to demonstrate grace and communicate truth. He warned the crowds, repent and believe the good news. He told individuals like Nicodemus, one of Israel's great respected teachers, that although he had lived in a way that commanded the respect of his peers and his contemporaries, that he still needed to be born of the water and the Spirit. He told individuals like the Samaritan woman that though she had lived in a way that lost the respect of her peers and contemporaries, the God-man made flesh had come to offer her water that would well up within her to eternal life. Jesus spoke graciously and truthfully to teachers of the law and tax collectors, to proud Pharisees and ashamed prostitutes. The Word made flesh, made himself available around town. He found his way to the dinner tables in their homes. He didn't avoid the cries of the lepers or the tough questions of the spiritual leaders of his day. And for anyone who would listen, for anyone who would look to him, they would see that he was always full of grace and truth. And it wasn't an act. It wasn't some show that he was putting on. This was his life's mission. He didn't just come to speak graciously or truthfully. He came to live that way. And even die in this manner. He put himself under the harsh truth of the law in our place. He was stricken for our sins, afflicted for our iniquities. The punishment that we had earned was placed on his shoulders, and he carried it perfectly, graciously. This was what he called his hour of glory, where his grace shined forth boldly, where he cried out, "It is finished," so that we would know that our sins were truly and fully and graciously paid for. And it is the Word made flesh that redeems us from the empty way of life that we find so prevalent in this real world. It is not that we do not have struggles or hardships. It is not that we do not face suffering and sorrows and even death, but because the Word made flesh, we have hope in the face of afflictions. We have joy in the midst of sorrows. We have peace that passes all understandings. Life in this real world is full of problems, but the Word made flesh has the final word, and this is what he has called you and made you, a child of God. You have been born of God through water and word. You have been given life that death cannot touch. You have been given light that the darkness can never overcome, because you have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father willingly, joyfully, sacrificially, full of grace and truth for you. Amen. Merry Christmas once again. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you the Word made flesh, the Word that invaded this real world so that we might have hope, joy, and peace. If you'd like to learn more about what this word has done for you, how it transforms your present and your future, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to join us for public worship and connect with me personally. May God continue to bless and keep you. And may you have a Merry Christmas. Until next time.